And I'm reminded of something relatively new in the world of psychology, which is something that I spoke to colleagues about in Europe, and I understand it is beginning more recently in American cities, that instead of going to psychotherapists and psychiatrists, people are speaking to philosophers about ultimate questions. It's the replacement of the philosophic model for the medical model. And with these philosophers, people discuss their own problems against the background of the way that the ancient texts handled problems, especially problems of suffering. So you can imagine someone saying, I have an appointment with my philosopher. I can't see you this week. And that meaning that they found a substitute for their psychologist. I think there's something to this. And as I read these ancient texts, I can see how for the ancients, these texts substituted as a form of treatment for mental problems and for mental illness. And they can be a very potent form. We've seen texts that convey wisdom in the form of proverbs and in the form of dialogue and a conversation between a philosopher, a person schooled in ancient philosophy, and a person of today who wants to deal with problems that can be thought of psychologically and philosophically, can be thought of as a modern version of this ancient philosophical dialogic tradition. Scholars see similarities between the Babylonian texts and the Egyptian wisdom literature and many texts in the Hebrew Bible. And we've just read the comparison between what the translator calls the Sumerian Job and the actual book of Job in the Bible. All of these texts confront the problem of suffering, and they do so in either a short philosophical form or in the form of a dialogue. The resolution of these conversations and maxims about suffering is that the sufferer must accept his or her fate, accept God's justice, and hope that fortune will change, much as fortune changes for Job at the end of the book of Job, where his life and his family are restored to him. And this comparison between the book of Job and the theodicy texts of the Babylonians brings us back to a larger theme that we have been dealing with throughout our course, the theme of the ancient Near Eastern texts and the texts of the Hebrew Bible. We've investigated the comparison between these bodies of literature. We've done it in creation accounts, where we looked at Egyptian and Mesopotamian accounts and compared them to Genesis. We've done it when we've spoken about the gods of the Canaanites and the Hittites and compared those descriptions to the prophetic books of the Bible and what they have to say about the gods of the Canaanites. We did it to a serious and deep extent with the Epic of Gilgamesh, where we compared the story of Utnapishtim to the story of Noah. The love poetry of Egypt and of Mesopotamia, especially the great nature poems of Egypt, seem to have a close affinity to the Song of Songs attributed to Solomon, king of Israel. And in this lecture on wisdom literature and its parallels, we've seen that the Babylonian material and the Egyptian material deals with problems in a similar way that the biblical material does. So with these voices of wisdom, we conclude our lecture and our series on ancient Near Eastern mythology. I hope you come away from it inspired and that you will continue your study of the ancient Near East and its rich literary tradition.
We genuinely hope you've enjoyed these lectures from our Great Courses series. Our courses are available to order online. Visit our website at www.teachone2.com or call our customer care representatives at 1-800-TEACH-1-2. That's 1-800-832-2412. Thank you very much.